Father God, as we come before you this morning, Lord, it's our hearts full of joy as we are once again united together as a family. Lord, as we rejoice and celebrate in all that you did in everyone's life, both those that were part of the team that remained behind to pray here and those that went out from the college and career and the junior high and the high schoolers and the Sudan team, Lord. Those that risked their lives, those that gave their all in order to follow you to the uttermost parts of the earth, Lord. Lord, for those that were here and witnessing to their neighbors. And Lord, I just pray that more and more we would be able to have an impact on this area for you. We pray for Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. We pray, Lord, to the north and the south and the east and the west. And we say, give it up. Give us, Lord, those souls, those that you would desire us to share the gospel with, to share the good news of salvation, the truth of the gospel, Lord, to make disciples, to train them up, and to send them out. And Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to see all that you are desiring to do and are doing in our lives. And pray that you would open our ears to hear all that you would have to say to us, your church, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that you would move our feet, that we might be able to move forward in the battle for you. And we just ask, Lord, for all these things, for you to teach us, to guide us, and direct us, for you to speak to us this morning through your heart of love, through your words. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 6, verse 18. This is part one of a four-part series that we are actually finishing up in our series on spiritual warfare as we're finishing Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And this particular series is called Poised for Battle. And we are going to be looking this morning at verse 18. But over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at verses 18 through 20. So why don't we start by reading that whole passage through. It says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. In our examination of verses 10 to 17 of chapter 6, and our focus on the topic of spiritual warfare and God's armor, we have now come to the subject of prayer. Now, Paul is not shifting gears here in his exhortation to the Ephesians to be ready for warfare. He has already established the fact that we are in a battle against principalities and powers. He has given us the weapons of our warfare. He has clothed us in God's heavenly armor. And now as he prepares to send the troops out into battle, so to speak, this is the pre-battle briefing with those that he loves, those that he is sending out into the war. So the words that Paul speaks here are critical for each one of us that's in the battle. And make no mistake, every one of us that names the name of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, everyone that desires to live godly, that desires to follow after the Lord, is now, at this moment, in a battle, in an intense war that is raging on around us. These are his words to the troops as he sends them forward to fight. In verses 18 through 20, we're going to examine three essential issues over the next 4 weeks. The first that we're going to be spending 2 weeks on is our posture in the battle, our posture in the battle. Following that, we're going to look at our purpose for the battle, and then finally, our position in the battle. Our posture in the battle, our purpose for the battle, and our position in the battle. This morning and next week we will examine our posture in the battle. Let's read verse 18 in again. It says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. When one usually thinks of a warrior, I'm sure that we can conjure up all kinds of different pictures of knights standing and tall and proud in gleaming armor, or of a soldier dressed in his finest dressed uniform with a gleaming sword at his side, or standing at attention with his sword held at the ready, or a soldier dressed for battle with a weapon in his hands, fighting to finish against all odds, going bravely forward into the line of fire and charging the enemy. There are all kinds of different postures that we might see as important in the battlefield. Standing tall and proud might be one. Another one might be prone, lying in a foxhole, trying to make yourself less of a target. However, I submit to you this morning that the posture that is most critical in this battle that we are all engaged in is one that we might not have considered, or might not have considered as being very important. And that posture is kneeling on our knees. Alan Redpath said, much of our praying is just asking God to bless some folks that are ill and to keep us plugging along. But prayer is not merely prattle. It is warfare. This is not a sidebar issue from spiritual warfare. This is not, well, now the teaching on spiritual warfare that went on from verses 10 to 17 is over and Paul's just saying, let's cap this with prayer. This is an essential, integral, critical part of warfare. This is the battle. Prayer has been a critical emphasis in this church for quite some time now. It's not that it wasn't important before. It was critical then, and it still is today. We cannot survive as a church. We will not survive as a church and bear fruit apart from prayer. We cannot stand against the onslaught of the enemy apart from prayer. We cannot resist the attacks of Satan in our own lives apart from prayer. If we want victory in our life and freedom from the roller coaster ride of constant failures in our walks, then prayer is the key. It's essential. Understand this. You will have, I will have, we will have no victory in this life apart from that which is wrought on our knees. In verse 18, we see three key elements of prayer that we're going to be looking at this morning. And that is that prayer needs to be, first of all, consistent. Secondly, vigilant. And thirdly, persistent. Three words that need to describe our individual prayer lives. Consistency, vigilance, persistence. As we begin this morning to look at these three things, I would ask you again to consider your own life. We need to examine ourselves. And we need to say, are these the three words that would describe my prayer life? My times of intimate fellowship with the Lord? Would it have described it this morning? Would it have described it yesterday? Would it have described it last week or last month or last year? If the answer to that is no, and of course, we're the only ones that really know, don't lose heart. Repent. Let's change the way that we approach the warfare in this life by dropping to our knees and battling in prayer. The first thing that prayer needs to be is consistent. In the beginning of verse 18, Paul says, with all prayer and petition at all times in the Spirit. I like the King James Version, which simply says, praying always. The word all or always is really two words in the Greek, en and pas. It means at all times or in all things or about everything. Paul tells us in Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to pray without ceasing. Consistent prayer is the key to freedom from anxiety. In Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7, we read, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now you may be saying, well, you know, this isn't really new. I've heard this all before. I don't know how many times I have heard teaching on prayer as a Christian in my, you know, 28, 29, how many years? Well, a long time as a Christian. I've heard so many good and rich teachings on prayer, and every time I've thought, yeah, that's what I want to be. And then sooner or later I find myself to have wandered off the course and wondered what happened. So I don't mind reminding all of us of these things that are so critical and so important and yet so often forgotten. Consistent prayer keeps our focus on the Lord. Consistent prayer maintains a communication between us and God. We want to be anxious for nothing. Paul says the way to do that is in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to let your requests be made known to God. The key to anxiety, the key to freedom from anxiety is praying about everything. And the response is the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, which passes understanding. I heard John Corson talking not long, just actually a few days after his daughter was killed in a traffic accident. And as he was sitting there on the beach one day, just weeping and grieving over the loss of his daughter, I believe she was 17 or 18 years old at the time, and just asking God, why? Just help me to understand. And he said God spoke to him so clearly. He said, I give you the peace that passes understanding. Never seek peace that comes from understanding. The key to prayer is submission. The key to prayer is knowing and understanding that God has everything under control. That He is on the throne. I think it's D.L. Moody that said once that, you know, God is on the throne and we are at His footstool. And the distance between us and Him is the length of the knee. We're right there. And God is desiring to hear our every request, our every prayer. Too often, though, our prayer is not, Lord, take this from me, not relieve this burden, not carry this for me, not give me your peace. It's, Lord, why? I have prayed many of those prayers myself. Over the last 3 weeks, I have prayed that prayer many times. Why, Lord? Why now? Why this? Don't you see what I'm doing, God? We're out here in the mission field. We're risking our lives for you. And why do you do this to me now? How many times have we done that? And really, it's sin. It's pride. It's me saying, Lord, I deserve better than this. Lord, I really deserve from you, Lord, is a pat on the back. Gary, you're doing a great job. You're out there in the field and you're really risking your life, and you know, I'm going to make things easy on you. But when we are a soldier in combat and we go out onto the battlefield with the bombs exploding and the bullets whizzing overhead and everything happening around us, I wonder how many are really asking why. How many soldiers are standing up in the midst of the fire and the battlefield and saying, why is that bomb dropping over there? Well, why did that bullet just whiz by my ear? No. They're in the battle. They're fighting. They're focused on what is going on around them. They are doing everything to survive. And that's what consistent prayer is all about. It's about survival. But it's more than just getting by the skin of your teeth. It's more than just barely making it and barely surviving and just barely hanging in there. It's more than just crawling across the finish line. It is approaching the warfare and the battle with confidence. It is going through the fire and the trials of adversity and everything that the enemy might throw at us, and being not just victorious, but more than conquerors. It is not living this life in fear, but living this life with a boldness and a courage that only comes through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Why is it that when the battle is so intense, we usually stop the one thing that is the most critical, the most crucial for our survival? We usually stop prayer. We say, well, I really don't feel like praying. I really don't feel like spending time in the Word right now. And when you think about it, it's like a soldier on the battlefield who says, I really don't feel like fighting today. I really don't feel like being engaged in this battle. So, you know what? I'm just going to pretend that there is no war. I'm going to pretend there is no battle. And I'm just going to go on with my day like there's nothing going on. Now, we would call that soldier crazy. We'd say, well, you're probably not fit for battle, because you're not prepared. Battles are won and lost. Physical wars, physical battles in the mind. That's why during World War II and in other wars, there was such an emphasis on propaganda, trying to get the enemy forces to feel that they've already been defeated before the battle even starts, and to get them to give up. Even as late as the Gulf War, the propaganda machinery of our own military was tremendous. Tremendous enough to make Iraqi soldiers give up without a fight. Faced with what they believed to be an unbeatable foe, and it was indeed an enemy of which the likes that they had never faced before, and the armament and military might. Yet they had given up in their minds. And once they did that, the battle was lost. The battleground in this spiritual war that we are all in. And you can say, well, it's not happening to me. And you can say, well, I choose not to be in this battle. And you can say, well, spiritually, I'm Switzerland. You know, I'm not taking sides either way. Well, I am neutral. There is no such thing. You are either in the light or you are in the dark. You are either for God or you are fighting against Him. Those are your only two choices, whether you like it or not. And if you are fighting with God, then you are in an intense battle that is raging all around. And Satan's greatest technique is to try and get you to give up before the fight even starts. He knows. He knows that if we resist Him, He will have to flee. So He gets us to where we won't even try and resist. He gets us to where we'll just give in. He says, don't even try. Don't even go on. You aren't going to win this battle. You never win. You're just going to mess up like every other time. So why don't you just forget it and give up? It's too hard to walk with the Lord. It's not for people like you. It's, you know, you just don't measure up. So why even try? It's a lie. It's propaganda. And the weapon against that is prayer, consistent prayer. Lord, I know that I can do nothing apart from You. Lord, I know that without You I am weak and miserable and blind and naked. I know, Lord, that I am nothing but a sinner and I deserve nothing but eternal punishment. But by Your grace, I am saved. By Your grace, I am a child of You. And I know that You love me and that nothing can separate me from that love. And so I come to You, Lord. I come to You, Dad. I just want to climb up on Your lap and hold on to You and say, help me. Give me strength. I am too weak for this. But I know there is none like You. I know, Father, that Your plans can never be thwarted. I know that no matter what the circumstances look like, that You have overcome the world. That You have gained the victory over sin and death in my life. I know that I am Your child and that You love me with an everlasting love. I know that You will never leave me or forsake me. I know that You are with me always. And so I come to You as Your word says, Dad, and I cast all my cares on You. All these burdens that are so overwhelming. I come to You, Dad, and say, you know what? I'm really being tempted. I'm really being drawn away and I need Your help and Your strength. Give me, Lord, the strength to resist. And as we find that we turn to the Lord consistently in prayer, He will answer every time to rescue us and to draw us near. Usually when we don't feel like praying, usually when we don't even know what to pray, it's the time when we need to pray the most. That's why Paul emphasizes here that we are to be praying in the Spirit. In Romans 8, 26 and 27, it says, and in the same way, the Spirit also helps us, helps our weakness. Notice this. We are weak. I am weak. We need help in order to have victory in this battle. We cannot do it on our own. We cannot do it alone. The Spirit helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. But I don't feel like praying. It's okay. Pray anyways. But I don't know what to pray. It's okay. God will tell you what to pray. Praying in the Spirit is more than just using spiritual gifts like tongues. Praying in the Spirit is praying in submission to the Holy Spirit. It is praying even though we don't feel like praying. It is praying when it seems as if there is no hope. It is praying when it seems as if there is no way out of the situation, no way to redeem ourselves or to redeem this situation. Yet it is praying in faith that God causes all things to work together for those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. Romans 8:28. That's praying in the Spirit. Did you know that? It is saying, Lord, I don't see how any good can come out of this. I don't see any way out of this situation. I don't see any way where You can be glorified. But you know what, Lord? I'm trusting that You're going to cause all things to work together for good. So I am coming to You in prayer and lifting all these things up before You. But know that Satan is going to do everything he can to keep you, to keep us off of our knees, and to make us run for cover. Therefore, the second element of prayer that we're looking at this morning is that we must stay vigilant in prayer. Consistency is one thing. Vigilancy is another essential. In the second part of verse 18, it says, "And with this in view, be on the alert." Or in the King James Version, it says watching. That word in the Greek is agrupneo, and it means to be sleepless, to keep oneself awake. It literally means to purpose not to sleep. Staying awake in prayer is something that, for some reason, well, we know what it is, it's spiritual, it's very difficult to do. It seems that no matter when we purpose to pray, we're always tired when it comes to that time. Okay, well, I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to wake up early so that I can have that time in prayer, and then I can, you know, go off and face the day, and the alarm goes off and we groan. Oh, it's too early. I'm so tired. Just a few more minutes. Just, you know, hit the sleep button and 5 more minutes. Then 5 more minutes, and then 5 more minutes, and then we're late to work. Get up, get in the shower, get going, get out of there. I don't have time to pray. So we say, okay, I'm not a morning person. Doesn't work in the morning. What I'm going to do, I'm going to pray at night. Hey, I'm a night person. I'm awake at night and everything. And, you know, so we go through our day, and we're going to have our time in the Word and in prayer at night, and just some really quality time. And you know, we get to the evening, and the kids go nuts, and everything happens. And, you know, it's Monday night, and the football game's on, you know, and that goes into overtime. And, you know, and before we know it, it's 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, and it's too late to pray. Because if we don't get to sleep right now, we're not going to get the, you know, not even 6 or 7 hours before we have to get up the next morning. Or we lay down and, you know, we pick that, you know, incredible time to pray when our head hits the pillow. We lay down and we say, "Dear Lord." I mean, think about it. How would you feel? You had a friend that you really wanted to talk to. And you called them up and you said, "Oh, I really need to talk to you." And they said, "Well, okay, you know what? I'll have some time tomorrow morning. Can you call me?" So you call in the morning and they answer the phone and it's like, "Hello? Oh, I'm sorry, we're sleeping. Oh, yeah, can you call me back in an hour?" And call them back and, "Oh, I'm sorry, I can't talk right now. I'm late to work. I'll call you tonight." And you wait that night and they never call. And the next night. And the next night. And the next night. And you call them up and they say, "Oh, you know, I've been really busy. You know, life has just been, you wouldn't believe how busy life has been. And I've really meant to call you. And I wanted to call you every night, but I couldn't, you know. And this happened this night and this happened that night. And you know, and sure, we understand. But have we had the fellowship? No. Have we had the conversation that we desired? No. Do we feel that we're an important part of that person's life? No. Would we be hurt? Yes. Is that the way we treat God? Yes. Way too often. The one who loves us. The one who sits by our bed at night while we sleep. The one who sends legions of angels about us to protect us. The one who never sleeps and never slumbers. And we're too busy. We're not on the alert. Too often we choose to sleep rather than to pray. The disciples had the same problem in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember? Jesus told them to watch and pray, and they kept falling asleep. In Luke 22:46, he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." We don't pray. Our prayer life is anything but vigilant. And then we wonder at how easily we succumb to Satan's attacks. We wonder at how easily we are overwhelmed by the issues of the day, by the issues of all that we are facing. We are so busy, we have so many things to do, we have so many important decisions to make that we don't have time to pray. We're asleep spiritually. And when those important things come, when those multitude of issues hit us, we are unprepared. We are caught off guard. Even when we have trouble sleeping, I do this. I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm all frustrated because I'm awake. And the more I think about it, the more frustrated I get. And I think, I gotta go to sleep. I gotta go to sleep. Oh man, it's been 15 minutes and I'm still not asleep yet. And then, oh, it's been 20 minutes. It's been 30 minutes. I've lost 30 minutes. Who do you want me to pray about? What is it that I need to be praying for? Who is it that needs prayer more than one time? So many times over. When I've been out in the field or someone else has been out in the field and you know, or we've been going through a real intense time, at that instant, somebody is praying for us. And it's in the middle of the night. Or the middle of the day, or the middle of the workday, or whatever. Failing to be vigilant in prayer means that we will often be taken by the enemy's attacks by surprise. All of a sudden, we find ourselves in the middle of an intense battle, and we won't even be sure how we got there. We are too often a sentry at the gate that has fallen asleep and allowed the enemy to penetrate our defenses. And not only our defenses, but when we fail to pray for others, we fail them also. Which brings me to my last point, that we must be not only consistent, not only vigilant, but also, thirdly, persistent in prayer. Paul exhorts the Ephesians here in the last part of verse 18 to persevere in their petitions for the saints. Prayer is hard enough for ourselves, much less trying to pray for others. We hardly have time for our own prayer time without even thinking about coming out for prayer with the church corporately as a body on Monday nights. Satan knows how effective corporate prayer is, and that's why he works so hard to stop it. Matthew 18, verses 18 through 19 says, "Truly I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven." That is the power of corporate prayer. That is why we have prayer together as a church every week. That is why it is so critical and so essential for us to gather together in prayer. The word perseverance in verse 18 is the Greek word which means persistency. It means to be earnest towards, to be diligent, to adhere closely or give great attention to. At its root are two Greek words which means to move towards strength. If we want strength in this life, it comes through persistency, through persevering in prayer. We must not stop in our prayer for others. We must be diligent. Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Jesus was telling a parable about how men always ought to pray. At all times, they ought to pray and not to lose heart. He said there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, "Give me legal protection from my opponent." And while he was unwilling, and for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she will wear me out." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" It's not that God's irritated with us. It's not that we need to be a thorn in God's flesh and we need to keep coming back until God gets so irritated that he says, "Okay, fine." What Jesus is saying is, if the unrighteous judge, the unloving judge, acts in such a manner to bring about justice, will not a loving, gracious, and merciful God do so much more? Yet we are so unwilling to go to him and to pray. We can't go back. We're told to avoid vain repetitions. But that does not mean that we have to avoid repeating petitions. We are to avoid vain repetitions, which is repeating things that really have no meaning over and over again just for the purpose of repetition. But it does not mean that we cannot go to the Lord and say, "Lord, please. I know I just prayed for this yesterday. I know I just prayed for this an hour ago. Lord, I need your help. Lord, please give me the answer. Lord, please show me the way. Tell me what it is that I need to do." In Matthew 7, verse 7, Jesus says, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be opened to you." In the Greek grammar there, it literally says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Everyone who continually asks receives. Everyone who continually seeks finds. And to him who continuously knocks, it will be opened. Our persistence in prayer is an element of our faith. It shows that we know that the source, that the answer to our prayers, the answer to the peace in our life is found there at the door that we're knocking on. It's found in the Lord and in His working in our lives. This is not some cruel game that God is playing with us, trying to get us to beg Him for what we want. It is simply God answering our prayers of faith. Many times we can be persistent in our prayers for our own needs and slothful in our prayers for others. Our prayers for others are important. James 5:16 says, "Therefore confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." This is how we bear one another's burdens. The question is not whether we need to pray for others or whether it will do any good to pray for others, the question is, am I willing? Am I willing to pray for you? Are you willing to pray for me? Am I willing to give up some time in the evening, one day a week, to come out and pray for others within the body? Am I willing to give up some time every morning to pray for those that God had put on my heart? Am I willing at any time that God prompts me to stop what I'm doing and to pray? We told you before we left that we had all the participants in the high school team wear these bracelets that said push, pray until something happens. And we said, we want you to pray until something happens, and then we want you to keep on praying. And there were more than one time, I mean, from the time we hit Uganda and they looked at Faith's passport, which was not a U.S. passport, and they said to me, you need to go to this other office. And I said, I already have a visa. That doesn't matter. You need to take her to this other office because she's from Sudan. She's 3 years old. It doesn't matter. Go to this office. And as I was walking away, I told everyone, push. Push like you've never pushed before. There were so many times throughout the trip that we said, push. You need to push now. It was neat. Satan is pushing with all his might against us. And we need to push back. It is time for Christians to stop being pushed around by the world. Stop being pushed around by the world's lack of morality, by the world's ideas, by political correctness, and it is time for Christians to stand up and push back. And I'm not talking politically. I am talking about prayer. And that is the one thing that we so often fail to do. E.M. Bounds says, talking to men for God is a great thing, but talking to God for men is greater still. So many search for answers to find victory in their lives. We want books. We want steps. We want something that will work for us. Well, here it is. Prayer. Prayer works. Prayer is warfare. It is an integral part of the arsenal that we have been given. It is a critical part of the arsenal. By prayer, we don the armor that God has supplied to us. By prayer, we move forward in the battle. By prayer, we gain the victory. By prayer, we have the strength to fight this fight. William A. Ward says, the pulse of prayer is praise. The heart of prayer is gratitude. The voice of prayer is obedience. And the arm of prayer is service. So let's do that right now. Father God, as we come before you this morning, Father, I pray that you would search our hearts. Where there has been a lack, please forgive us. Help us, Lord, to turn to you. Help us, Lord, in every circumstance, in every situation, in all things, at all times, to pray in the Spirit and to know that you are in control, to know that you are on the throne, to know that you love us with an everlasting love, to know that you will not let us down, that you will never fail us, to know that you are there to strengthen us, to know that you are there right by our side to carry us into battle, to know that you go before us, that you stand with us, and that you follow behind us, protecting us on all sides. And Lord, whatever battles that we might find ourselves currently in as a church, as individuals, as families, Lord, we give them over into your hands. And we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.